because of who you are, because of your faithfulness, your goodness, your wisdom, your sovereignty, we can rest in you no matter what comes our way. And we can trust knowing that this morning you are at work in this place. That as your word goes out, as your gospel is proclaimed, that dead hearts will be revived, that sleeping and not growing spirits will be stirred and filled with your spirit. We pray for change in this place this morning. Obedience flowing out of this place this morning, driven by worship and awe of you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone can be seated at this time, and any children below fifth grade, so fourth grade and under, can go kind of around the corner here for our children's ministry.
Well, good morning. Are you awake? Hopefully. It's good to be here. We were out of town last week in another place, worshiping the Lord. Made us thankful for our little church here. And the blessings that we receive from this place and the love. And so it's good to be back. It's good to see you. May Isaac's prayer be the prayer of all of our hearts this morning. That as the Holy Spirit comes and as he speaks and he teaches and he speaks to each individual heart here, that our answers would be yes to him this morning. Pray for Pastor Rush as he is. He's been gone all week. And so he will be returning, and he's been at one of the last biblical counseling conferences with CCEF. So pray for him and his safe return and his family coming back together. And I think the kids have been very happy. There's been no rush hour around the house. That happens around the Witt household every once in a while. That's what it's called. And so it's kind of been that way all month. So they got a big adjustment coming. So pray for Pastor Rush as he returns. We are in Acts chapter 7, continuing our study. Verses 54 through 60 is was read. I titled this sermon called, What a Way to Go. What a Way to Go. And we will kind of finish out with that. We're just going to look at this passage of Scripture. As it's already been read, you can see something's changing dramatically here. Stephen has been brought before the council. He's been given a testimony, and if you back up to the verses from last week, he says, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and they began gnashing their teeth at him." You see a contrast in actions here between the council and Stephen. They're as drastic as night and day. You can't get further apart. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. It's the same word that's used other places in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, where you're sawn in two. And it seems as though this is kind of changed dramatically here. And I don't know that Stephen got to even finish what he was going to completely share as he's talking before the council. But these guys were angry. It's not the first time. If you go back over into chapter 5, it makes the same thing. They were cut to the quick. And so this is deep. This is anger. My kids, hopefully I'm over this. I don't know that I've done this in a long time. But I used to would bite my tongue. And they knew, it's like, you made dad like really angry. You better run. I never thought of myself as a very angry man. I'm not. Doesn't make much sense to punch a wall to me. That just hurts and something you're going to have to pay to fix. And my anger comes out in other ways, as I've learned over the years. The point being is that these guys were angry. They're gnashing their teeth at him. Have you ever gnashed your teeth? Get angry? These guys were probably very red in the face. So this is an anger that's been there and been there and it's in there. And it doesn't take but this to take and bubble this right up to the point where they are lashing out at him. Extremely angry. Counsel's angry, though, leads to murder. The Holy Spirit of grace leads to glory. We look at Stephen and his life, and it's like they were cut to the quick. Visibly, extremely angry, intense. Stephen standing there, but being full of the Holy Spirit. And when I read that, I'm thinking, you know, this just keeps getting stated over and over about this man. He states in chapter 6, verse 5, Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, Stephen, full of grace and power. Verse 10, they're unable to cope with the wisdom and with the Spirit, capital S, that he spoke with. Verse 15, they see his face as the face of an angel. And then now in 7:55, Stephen being full of the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Here's a man, this is a man that's in the church, just like any of us. I think we have a tendency to look at the Scriptures and the people in Scripture and kind of hold them up here and go, well, this is kind of, they're just kind of special. Or it was a special time and God was doing something special. I don't want you to see that or think that way this morning. Here is a man that when they decided a while back, hey, we need to have people serving the table, go find you some men, and that they being full of the Holy Spirit. I can remember as a young man, God using this passage in my life, and I can tell you, I fall woefully short. But I remember God using that. I'm going, I'm just a man. He's just a man. God's Spirit is in me, and this same filling is possible. I remember longing to be a man like this, a man full of faith, fully trusting in God, living in a way that you can't do on your own. The only way you can do this, as Josh said earlier in his prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been in a Baptist church all my life, Southern Baptist. And Southern Baptists have shied away from talking about the Holy Spirit because of others who may take some further extreme positions on the Spirit and the outflowing, what that looks like, what it's manifested as. We're going to look at that this morning because I think it's such a teaching that needs to be taught. And not only that, it's our calling. Now, you have all the Spirit that you need. You're not going to get any more. God didn't short you. When He saved you, He gave you Himself. I long to be a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace, full of power, full of living a life for God and not for this world. And I don't know why He necessarily did that in my life, but He did. And He not only did that, but He gathered me around other men who had some of the same heart and the same desire and the same passions. And we tried our best to live that way. We challenged one another in those areas. So I asked myself again this week, and I'm asking you this morning, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Would others say that you're full of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like? I asked my community group this a couple weeks ago. And at that time, I didn't think I was preaching this passage. And then last week, Rush called me and said, hey, you mind if I change this and do this? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a God thing. So I get to preach one of my favorite passages. Being full of the Holy Spirit. Be being full of the Holy Spirit. It is ongoing. It's continual. Being full of the Holy Spirit, I think, means dying to yourself. If you look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, I'll have it on the screen. If you don't have that. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see the same things that were being stated about Stephen, full of faith, full of grace, full of power. It's no longer I who live. This is not, if you've been a Christian very long, very familiar passage of Scripture, right? This is who we are. This is who we are to be. I've been crucified with Christ. I do not no longer have to yield. That was a double negative. That didn't mean to come out. I no longer have to live and yield my members as instruments of unrighteousness. I can now live and yield my members as instruments of righteousness for the glory of God. And that's what He calls us to do. This love that was lavished on us controls me. It constrains me. It drives me to do the things necessary to make sure that I'm being full of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you see in Stephen. It's mentioned over and over and over. Daily. Dying to yourself. Nobody likes that. I don't like that. I like me. I like my ways. I like to rest when I want to rest. Don't text me. Don't. In I think we long to be like Stephen in the sense of going, something big comes and we stand before the council and we give a testimony for God. And we'll stand in the face of death itself. That sounds like a great way to go. And yet I spend enough time with people in my own self and going, I can't be being in the Spirit with my wife the way that I'm supposed to be. How do you think God's going to get you to the point where you're going to stand here, and take a big stand for Him? If I'm not doing this in all of my relationships, and that's what you see. Stephen was known for this long before he got here. He just didn't pop up one day and said, boom, this is going to be a big one. This is the practice of his life. I counsel enough to know we don't like dying to ourselves. Yeah, but she's doing this. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, but you don't get it. Yeah, I get it. Every day, being full of the Holy Spirit means dying to yourself. Secondly, I think we see being full of the Holy Spirit has a heart and mind intently set on the things above. Verse 55. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He gazed intently. With all that is going on, he has set these guys off to a point where they're angry, and that anger is going to continue to build. They're going to rush at him. They're going to drive him out of the city, and they're going to ultimately murder him and kill him in a very brutal fashion. And what is he doing? Intently looking towards heaven. He didn't think, well, maybe I should apologize. Hey, wait. I kind of overstepped my boundaries. I get it. Let me tell you what I was really trying to tell you. I want to love you. I want you to come to Christ. You know, let me calm this down. I know what these guys are capable of. I know what they did to Christ. I know what they will put you to death. None of that. I don't think he questioned one word he said. Because I'm confident that that came from the Spirit. It's stated before, he is known for speaking in the Spirit. They couldn't handle his wisdom, and for with the Spirit that he spoke with. He is intently looking towards heaven from where my help comes from. Intently, earnestly, steadfastly, fasten your look, your gaze, not distracted. All that was going on, and he's not distracted. He is intently looking towards Christ, looking towards heaven. Earnestly, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Very familiar passages of Scripture, but I want you to see, what does this look like? Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Is that going on in your relationships? Is that going on with your wife? Put it aside. It's not of the Spirit. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy, beloved, us, men in the church, ladies in the church, this is the call for all of us. Those that God has lavished His love on, beloved by God, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You see that in Stephen's life? You see Paul writing this again to us? Those who have believed, those whom God has chosen, those who of us that He has set aside? This is who we are. To not be like this is to not be Christian according to the Scriptures. We've settled with a Christianity that we're comfortable with. Right? There's a book written called Radical. You read that, and I've heard him later state, he goes, it's really not radical. It's just the natural call of Christianity. He intently looking. Verses 55 and 56 back in Acts. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Do you see the glory of God? I don't mean that God's opened up the heavens to you like Stephen. But in the Scriptures, you see the glory of God? Do you see Jesus when you go to the Scriptures? We know the Bible. Sometimes we go there for help, and we should always go there for help. We look for a promise. And we should look for those promises. But do you know the Scriptures? Or you, there's a time where it's like, you know, I'd love to debate theology with you. Had those top shelf discussions. Go see Isaac and Josh. My point is, do you know the God of this Bible? Do you see Him in all of His glory? Does it cause you to have an intent gaze towards God and Jesus Christ, longing to see His face? That if you were in this kind of situation, would your natural tendency to be being in the Holy Spirit looking towards heaven? Or do I go and get the stuff that I need that'll help me through my stuff? Just a caution. Do you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Everything that you have. He sees Jesus standing. It's the only place in Scripture I know that it talks about Him standing until He's ready to return. He went to be seated, right? He left. He told His disciples, this is where I'm going. And He's going to be seated. Why? Because the work of redemption has been done. There's no more to be done. There's nothing to add to salvation. Christ has done it all. And it is settled. It is complete. It is finished. And He sat down. Well, as far as that work goes, He sat down. Evidently, there's other work that goes on that will cause Him to stand up. And can you imagine that all that's going on around the throne and all that we see in Revelations and all the activity and everything that's happening and what happens? Jesus stands up for Stephen. You ever go to this passage of Scripture for great hope and encouragement? Here's an eyewitness going, He did exactly what He said He was going to do. He's exactly where He said He was going to be. He is sitting there making intercession, so much so that He stands up for Stephen because He says, man, I know what he's going through. I know. I've been there. And he needs encouragement, and he's had the angels come and minister to him. Oh, Jesus stands up for Stephen and says, keep looking at me, man. Keep being full of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use this in ways you've got no idea. Trust me. Love me. Set your affections here. Don't get distracted. You're doing exactly what I planned for you to do. There's no mishap here. Great hope. We ought to have tremendous hope. I hope that you're encouraged when you see this. That everything that's going on in glory and God and Jesus are sitting there and they're mindful of what's going on in your life. Stephen's not special. He's just like all of us. And that's God's looking and loving on you in the exact same way. He cries out and he goes, look! You see? Don't you see? I see the heavens open. God has opened up to the third heaven. And he sees the glory of God, the Shekinah glory that's around that throne and all that activity. And then he sees his Savior standing up. Goodness. Don't you long to live like that? In the mundane things of life, you think God doesn't care about those things? He absolutely does. He's been walking with Stephen the whole way through. He commands the attention of Jesus himself and he stands and he sees him. Thirdly, being full of the Holy Spirit looks like Jesus. In verses 57 to 58, 57 through 60. But they cried with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. He's just sitting here saying, here's a man looking at God Almighty himself, looking into the throne room and seeing Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, look, behold, don't you see? No, they can't see because if they see and he's right, these guys are committing blasphemy. So they're going to have to be put to death. So Stephen's got to be wrong and they're going to golly, act like a bunch of two-year-olds. Except it's far worse. They're so filled with anger, they're going to rush this one man and drive him out of the city and stone him to death. What a way to go. when you say that, it has almost two meanings, doesn't it? What a horrible way to go. What an unbelievable way to die. Most stonings, my understanding is, they would push you off of a ledge that would let you drop 10 to 12 feet onto rocks. If that didn't kill you, then they had the ones who were witnesses or your accusers push a rock that is like you can barely get it off. That's after they would flip you over if you landed face down. And then they would roll this boulder off the side and land on you. And if that didn't kill you, they would do some more. It appears these folks are so enraged. They drive him out out of the city. He's standing there to be stoned. They disrobe and take off the outer garments so that they have full freedom to sling rocks that are heavy enough that I can still throw and hit you with. What an unbelievable way to go. And yet, what an unbelievable way to go. With Jesus standing, encouraging, knowing in just a little bit, I'm going to be there face to face. Don't you long to see Jesus? Don't you just, everything in you long to see Jesus? Your love for Him? You can't wait to see Him, be in His presence. What an unbelievable way to go. And he finishes his last just like Jesus, right? Very familiar. Lord, receive my spirit. Same thing that Christ says when He's on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Stephen, be being full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Once again, can you imagine all that's going on? Boom! He falls to his knees. I don't really think that he necessarily fell because a stone hit him. I think it was an act of humility, in a bowing and a pleading with God as he cried out, oh God, don't hold this sin against them. See what it looks like? You see what it means to be being filled full of the Holy Spirit? The only thing that's special about Stephen is that he had the Spirit of God in him and he was being fully controlled by the Spirit of God for the glory of God. He had long crucified himself and longed to please God with everything that he had. You ever think about dying? You ever sat around and talked to somebody going, I know one thing, I don't want to die this way? Usually includes like drowning or being burned in a fire or whatever your thought is. I don't want to be stoned. It's good to think about dying. Been to a funeral lately? I used to attend a lot of funerals. We had a large church that we were formerly in, and there was funerals every week, multiple. Somebody always dying. And I found that it did me good. It's like kind of like with the communion. There's a reason we do that so that you don't forget, that you come back to center and you remember the things that God has done for you. A funeral has a way when you sit there and you listen and you hear the things that are being said about an individual. What's being said about them? And really, that's all there is. It's over. And what have you given your life to? What have you given your life for? Work? How sad. Whatever it is. Or there is testimonies where you went and you said, man, what a saint of God. This person has served God all the days of their life. There's people there standing going, this person led me to Christ. This is the person who shared the gospel with me. This is the one that God used to finally open my eyes and cause me to come to Him. What has your gaze? What so draws you and causes my gaze to go this way as opposed to being intently set on this, on the things above, not on things on the earth? They're important. I'm not trying to minimize responsibilities. But oh, they're so far below our intent gaze on Christ. Being full of the Holy Spirit. Walking in ways where God's using you to speak words that opens eyes, that causes people to come to Christ, that ministers grace to the hearers. Is Jesus the love of your life? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Live to die so that others may know Jesus. Live to die praying for the forgiveness of others. Live to lay your life down for whatever God chooses. He may not call any of us to die in some big way. He just longs for us to love Him with everything that He's got, and that He can easily move us and do with us however He sees fit, whether big or small. That's God's doing. That's not us. Live to have Jesus stand from His throne to encourage you and welcome you home, because He will. Do you know Jesus today? Somebody may be sitting in here and they don't even know Christ as Savior and Lord. This is kind of some weird language and some weird talk for you if you don't know Christ as Savior. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. We can explain all of that. If you have questions about the gospel, see somebody at the back. Talk to somebody that's sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you. Don't leave here today and not know Christ as Savior. I've asked Sherry, this is wrong to do to people, but we got talented folks for such a small church. Let me just tell you. I'm going to ask her to come on up, and she's going to play and sing a song. You can come on. And I want you to stay seated, and I want you to reflect on the things that God has spoken to you about through this message. Maybe some things that you need to change in your life, things that you long to see changed. Things that I need to confess. What stole your gaze away? Whatever you need to do, you do. I welcome you to sing with her. Look at the words of the song. Just take this time to do business with the Lord.